हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay. Summary of chapters 2 through 8, Madhurya Kadambini, on page 63. So then, asakti, single-minded attachment, devotional service, performed by meditating on the Lord's eternal pastimes. These eternal pastimes appear in the devotee's heart spontaneously by their own will, svarasiki, bhava. So it means, at this point, the absorption of Krishna is so much that, and that attachment to Krishna, that the pastimes of Krishna naturally manifest in the heart. Right? So it's not a you don't have to make that effort. You're just absorbed in Krishna, these things just come up. Right? Then, 7. Bhava, serving the Lord with spontaneous devotional sentiments. Right, so that's what the outstanding point is there, is that these, you're always absorbed in that spontaneous mood of serving the Lord. Right? Then 8, prema, awakening of love of Godhead. So here's how she was describing it, here's it, awakening that, because pointing out is that there are levels beyond that. I think that's coming up on the next page. Like that. So that's what it calls. So bhava means they're all part of the same entity. The bhava is just where you have the spontaneous sentiments, then where there's awakening of love of God, then it'll go further. Footnote 25. Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur writes in Sri Bhajan Rahasya, in the 16-word Hare Krishna mantra, there are 8 pairs of names. Corresponding to these 8 pairs, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recited the 8 shlokas of the Shikshastakam. Right? So you have the Shikshastakam. So, Hare Krishna, that's verse 1. Hare Krishna, that's verse 2. Krishna Krishna, that's verse 3. Hare Hare, that's verse 4. Hare Rama, that's verse 5. Hare Rama, verse 6. Rama Rama, verse 7. And Hare Hare, that's verse 8. Right? So then, that means you can connect the meanings of those to the mantra. Does that make sense? So then the understanding of the mantra. This is Krishna, so it's just saying these are the moods. The first pairs of names, Hare Krishna, signifies the subduer of ignorance and performance of Nam Samkirtan with faith. The second pair, Hare Krishna, means Krishna's names are invested with all potencies. One should have attachment for bhajan by taking shelter of the holy names in the association of sadhus. Gradually, by performing bhajan, anartas, unwanted contaminations, are destroyed. As anartas are removed, nishta, firm faith, develops. Right? So that will bring you, so he's taking you from the whole, that's the whole point, is that first one, subduer of ignorance, the harinam, and that brings you to faith, right? To be established in faith. Yeah. Then the second one means then you're going to, in the association of devotees, take up the devotional process, remove the anartas from the heart. It will bring you to the stage of being fixed. Right? Yeah. The third prayer, Krishna Krishna, indicates the company of pure devotees and becoming fixed in firm faith throughout the day and night. So it's always, again, you see, it's always in the association of devotees. By the fourth prayer, Hare Hare, unmotivated devotion is awakened along with the taste for Nam Samkirtan. Right? So then Ruchi. Does this continue? It does. Okay. The fifth pair, Hare Rama represents the taste for pure service along with the remembrance of the holy names as prescribed in the Shikshastakam. In the sixth pair, Hare Rama, chanting in the beginning stage of transcendental emotion, leads to material detachment and complete attachment to Krishna. The seventh pair, Rama Rama, awakes attachment for the mellow of conjugal ras, the shelter of Radha's lotus feet, and feelings of separation. And so it brings up that aspect of the separation that's coming there. The eighth pair, Hare Hare, leads to the attainment of the goal of life, loving service to Radha and Krishna, following the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan throughout the eight divisions of day and night, Astakala. So that's already there in the mantra. So if anybody was worried about it, it's already there in the mantra. So the Shikshastami is dealing with all that, and but you know you can see Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining it from that practical point. You know, in the association of devotees, then you have a taste that will bring you to remembrance, right? And then you get that detachment and everything. So you get that chanting stage of transcendental emotion, like that. And then it brings you, you know, just, does that make sense? So it brings you up. So either the taste has the two levels, where you have taste and attachment as one thing, because it's just a furtherance of the other. You know, just like we saw that the Shraddha, developing that Shraddha from the holy name and then taking up in the association of devotees, Bhajana Kriya Nartha Devriti, that will bring you to Nishta. Right? So then the next verse is Nishta. Because then in here, from what we'd have to see there is also is that, on the seventh shloka, we'll see that soon, is that you have the aspect of that, the aspect of separation. Because there has to be that complete attachment to Krishna. When that separation, that will bring you then to the point where then you'll be able to be situated in love of God. Does that make sense? Yeah.
If we know theoretically about all that, not the person, but we don't remember that, but still chant the Mahamantra, so it will, the effect will be like,
yes, but less in comparison to unlimited. So, means you're dealing with Krishna. You're dealing with devotional service. They're unlimited. They're independent. So it's moving at the speed that we're comfortable with moving forward. You can move quicker, like Maharaj Katvanga and the gopis and others, the examples are given. But we move at what speed we're comfortable with. So that means one name can clear all the sins of the universe, so it's not that it's a problem.
Yeah, it's not a problem of the name.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is that even we don't remember so well, still so much benefit is there. It's not that we take it, okay, this is standard and then below that. You know, we have a tendency to do that. You know, it's like Varnashram, okay, Brahmins and then everybody else, you know, it's like, you know, shooters are down there in the gutter somewhere, you know, like that. You know, you can't always see them, they're too far away, you know, like that. But it's actually, no, humans, you know, that's the shooters, and then you have the leaders of that going up. So the holy name, even in Nama Bas, can bring you to liberation, so you don't have to worry. You will advance. It's just that if the more you're conscious, the process goes more nicely. For the rain. Nice hat. Beyond these eight levels, the scriptures describe with precision further stages of advancement in the realm of spiritual realization. The tree represents bhakti, or true devotional service. These lofty devotional exchanges to the Lord can be described as the mature fruits that ripen on the upper branches of the tree of bhakti. These devotional exchanges are defined as followed. So this comes after prema, right? So it's a greater maturity of prema. So bhava and prema are the first two stages of this. Right, so you have eight this way, And then, if you count them from Bhava, you have eight the other way. So that overlap of Bhava and Prema is in both lists.
Right. And those beyond Prema, they are found in Braj? I mean, in Dvaraka also?
I think, I'm not sure if it'll explain here. That will all come up in, I think, Nectar Devotion. And
because we said that in Vaikuntha it's Prema.
Yes. Like that. But in Goloka, you'll see going beyond that. But just particular rasas go to a particular level. Like the queens, they can only go up to Anurag. They don't get to Mahabhav. But all the Parakiya can get to Mahabhav, but then there'll be gradations within that. You know, yes. As follows. One, Sneha, when the heart melts with excessive love. Man, extreme sneha that uncovers nude, delightful regions of loving exchanges, making the beloved externally behave in a capricious way. Right, so it's just the sneha, the melting just goes so far as that it starts to act in the opposite way. Mm-hmm. Like that. Pranaya, a type of man that induces the beloved to feel on equal terms with the lover, thus bringing about quarrels of love between them. Because one might deal in an inappropriate way, you know, I mean, it's in a way that doesn't seem, how are they capricious? How are they translating here? On-site lexicographer.
Whimsical, cranky, naughty. Fractious, wayward.
Okay. We all understand? Either by, I say, directly experiencing it or indirectly experiencing it or like that. Yes, okay. Then pranayas, then when there's that mood of on equal terms. So now the other ones, that capricious attitude, then that just comes up. It means the person's there, but you're acting in that way. But then the pranaya means it's coming to the point where then acting as an equal, now you'll argue with them or chastise them as an equal. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? The other one is just it's not as, you're just manifesting that mood, and that will create something. You know, as I'm saying, you know, like not wanting to talk or this or that, but you're not really interacting. Mm-hmm. But then pranaya means now there's interaction. Mm-hmm. You know. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, what do you call it? You know, well, what happened? I don't want to talk about it. You know, like this and that. You know, but why I did something wrong like that? You know, like this and that. And it says, you know, well, what do you think? You know, this and that and this. So that's working at the man level. But then it's no, please tell me. Okay, now you're getting pranaya.
Right.
Yeah.
When we say that from the previous ones, whatever we achieve, then the previous one remains. Like,
yes.
Radha, you know.
Yes.
But those ones, they also stay with the person?
They shouldn't stay with the person?
I don't know.
You don't want them to stay with the person? Okay, let us put it like this. Let's go to the next one. Rag, conflicting emotions in the beloved. Sometimes of unbearable lamentation, and sometimes of extreme happiness, while waiting expectantly to meet her lover, Krishna. Right? So you have these conflicting emotions all happening at once. Okay, we can relate to that? Okay. Now, let us say the person comes. Right? You know, there's something there and you don't know, and things are there, things are late, and it's calling, and this and that. So there's all these, you know, what could have happened and all that. The earth opens up, everyone fell inside, you're the only one left. You know, so many things like that. You know, and you have to feed the cat, and it's not your cat. You know, all that kind of stuff. Right? So then, now when the person comes home, Is there not a possibility that man or pranaya might come up? Yes, yeah, so therefore.
Okay. I think in Jiva Dharma it is explained when the previous level intensifies to the point when it's like super intense,
mm-hmm.
then it turns into
the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just all these things. It's the depth, like the bhava. When it deepens, it becomes prema. And when that deepens, then it becomes so excessive love, and then it means the prema becomes sneha. And then when extreme sneha, yes, just like what you're saying here, just each one becomes more extreme. And then anurag, love that makes the beloved experience her old lover as if meeting him for the very first time. Right? So that's that freshness. So you see, like Krishna comes to Dwarka as if he's coming for the first time. Mm-hmm. You know, you see whenever he comes there, there's the whole festival and everything like that. Like that, how the queens come out and everything. Mahababa, the highest expression of love with all its diversity and complexity. This is not found in any of the other loving exchanges. Right, so it has that diversity and complexity. So it'll have the maximum. The other ones, it kind of has more of a fixed path, like this. But the Mahabhava, it has everything in it, and so therefore, anything can happen at any point. So on that stage, you could be dealing with all the other ones because they're all part of it. So it could be manifesting through these different positions. So footnote 26, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his commentary on Shloka 7 of Sri Shikshastika. Shantaras, or neutral love of Godhead, is marked by excessive exaltation. Okay. Attachment to Brahman is quintessentially in Shantaras, coupled with an air of disregard and unconcern for everything and all other than rasas. Oh, everything and all other rasas. Okay. With the increase of mamata, or affection, this attraction deepens and is known as dasyarasa, or love and servitorship. In awe and reverential mood, there's a lack of pranay. But such pranay ecstasy in mature state turns mischievous and introduces a crooked mood, which, due to a plethora of affection, is very unusual in texture. This is known as man. The mood of mana becomes active when the devotee expresses loving resentment. Even the Supreme Lord desires to relish this particular emotional exchange, and especially enjoys the mood of reconciliation with his devotees that follows resentment. Right, so that's the whole point, is then there's resentment, there's reconciliation. And so that's then where it becomes nice. The superabundance of love that completely melts the heart to a state of unimaginable liquidity is known as sneha, which is indicated by profuse, unchecked tears. In this stage, that the devotee's yearning to see Krishna never admits fulfillment. Although Krishna is admittedly the master of everyone and everything, in Vatsalya Rasa, or parental love, the devotee anxiously hopes that no harm befall him. These are the particular symptoms of the mellow of parental love. Sneha, supplemented by intense craving, becomes raga. And in this stage of pure love, even a moment's separation from the beloved is unbearable. While in union, even extreme grief feels exhilarating. Rag is disposed in such a manner that the object of worship is made to appreciate his own ever-fresh, perennial form. This ever-new raga transforms itself into anuraga, with a sense of lover and beloved, enrapturing each other into the state of complete compliance increases. In the rapture of anuraga, there are longings to be born as animals and other lower species that have a direct connection with Krishna. This is known as prema vaichitra, or varied love. Even in separation, Krishna begins to manifest himself only as only the lover knows and loves him, giving the lover excessive bliss. Right, so he manifests only as that person knows him. So in their particular rasa, then he manifests himself more in that mood for them to appreciate. Right? Somebody said? Yeah. When anuraga is filled with unsurpassable and matchless magnificence of love, reaching the plateau of madness, it becomes mahabhava. In this stage, even the blinking of an eyelid, veiling the view of the beloved for less than a moment, becomes intolerable and seconds stretch to eons. Separation for even a moment seems to expand to timeless eternity. In Mahabhava, both in union and in separation, all the symptoms of Sattvika Bhava and Santari Bhava find their fullest expression. In this shloka, Lord Chaitanya has very succinctly given us, like an ocean bottled in a pitcher, a synopsis of the elaborate dissertation on the different gradations of the most sublime loving relationship with the Supreme Lord as found in the Priti Sandarbha by Srila Jiva Goswami. Right, so this point then, Priti Sandarbha then brings all this out. Right, so. Yes, no? So we see here is that, like, the parental rasa seems to come up to sneha, and then others come up to friendship and all these things. Yes.
So the seventh verse of Shikshastaka explains all of it, all of those levels?
Yes. But it appears that when you're coming to the last two, they're explaining the aspect of separation and the aspect of sambandha. Mm-hmm. Like that. It also may have the point of, it's already getting to that point of Mahabhava, but it also explains the position of Radharani. So it has these, because you can see some of the places they deal with two or three like this. So it's not just exactly each shloka is one of the levels, it's that they deal and then within that, because they're giving the aspect of separation and the aspect of being together with Krishna. Yeah, because he's saying even a moment is like 12 years or more, so then that's Mahabhava. Okay. These elevated regions of divine love are inaccessible to a practitioner. He cannot taste the transcendental fruit. That means that sadhakas, we're not going to taste that far. We can get up to the ruchi and the sakti, which we see from the previous description is, you know, quite decent. So you don't have to think that, you know, you're missing out on something. Right? He cannot taste the transcendental fruit. The sadhaka bhakta is incapable of absorbing and manifesting the tempestuous and contradictory emotions generated by pure spiritual love within himself. Therefore, details of these topics have been deliberately excluded. Right? So what he's doing, he's just mentioning they're there. He's not going into more depth. Just enough that you can get an idea. You know, so you can tell the difference between the apple and the orange. You know, they're both fruit, they're both ground. Like that, yeah. The different symptoms of ruchi, asakti, bhava, and prema described in this book are meant to give one the knowledge simply of how to recognize them. Although there are sufficient shastric evidences regarding these subjects, they have not been mentioned. Because if one bases everything on evidences, then this subtle path shown by Guru and Krishna himself may be encumbered by unnecessary and harsh deceptions. Right? Because then you'll say, no.
Huh? Meaning the sahajas or no?
Not necessarily. The unnecessary and harsh deceptions. Just
so like this? Or like
yeah. That? You know, just like, oh, if it's not this, then they're not, you know, devotees or, you know, this and that, you know. So if someone's not on prema, they're not even a guru. It's just, you get these kind of things. They're too harsh. Mm-hmm. You know, so we'll tend to do that. But as you're pointing out, is that the neophyte is already on a platform higher than anybody, because the universe is meant for going back to Godhead. That's why one's out of the system, right? You know, you want to go off the grid, you become a devotee. Because then you're not in Yamaraja's scene, you're not then all these other things, no. Just Krishna's taking care. And so that's the whole idea. Is that it's all by the devotional, you appreciate what's there, but it's showing how far it can go. You know, so just sometimes if we take it for granted, then we can show the difference. But otherwise, it just keeps going. It gets better and better as it goes. But the essence of everything discussed in this book can be presented in summary form. Ahankara, false pride, has two characteristics. Ahanta, self-engrossment, and mamata, attachment. Right? I and mine. By becoming attached to the body and everything related, so that's why it's always the problem is I and mine, or I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. You want to extend it a little bit. But that means this false identity. Mm-hmm. Right? It's false pride. And that's coming from that Ajnana Shakti when we start to see things not connected to Krishna. Right? By becoming attached to the body and everything related to the body, the jiva is kept enthralled. Mm-hmm. But by cultivating knowledge these two characteristics of false pride are destroyed and the jiva becomes liberated. Right? It gives up the idea of I and mine. Prema is defined as the state when the jiva thinks himself a member of the Lord's family and his eternal servant, and he worships only the Supreme Lord and his eternal associates. Meditating in this way, through knowledge of the self, ahanta, the jiva desires to serve the Lord and his eternal associates. He develops attachment, mamata, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this ahanta and mamata are still present, but they're directed towards the Lord. I am the servant of the Lord, and the Lord is he has that attachment for the Lord. Mm-hmm. While otherwise we think, I am the Lord, and you know everything is for me to enjoy. So you have the attachment, but it's for yourself. That's why we're saying, no, the attachment is to pleasing Krishna, and the identity is service of Krishna. Mm-hmm. So this is the first thing that we discuss. This is the first point, because this is the crux. Everything else is cultivating this, mm-hmm. trying to shift it from the one to the other. Mm-hmm. Right? So even though it's a basic, it is what's going on. Mm-hmm. In truth, prema is indeed transcendental to material entanglement, and more rare than liberation. It is described as being the pinnacle of all material and spiritual pursuits. Right? So, it's transcendental material entanglement, and that's, you know, never doing so good. And more rare than liberation, so it's a higher thing than that. Right? It is described as being the pinnacle of all material and spiritual pursuits, the ultimate destination of all the scriptures. A synopsis of the salient features of this book follows. It is formatted in a systematic way, tracing the gradual development of different spiritual conditions. Good fortune transforms the false ego in gross material attachments. These are replaced by self-knowledge and attachment to the ways of a devotee. This consciousness becomes firm, and the devotee thinks, I shall become a household of Vaishnava and worship only the Supreme Lord. Ultimately, the cause of such a conviction is the saintly soul's compassionate nature. Now, Paramarthiki, Shraddha, enters the heart very slightly. He then becomes eligible to begin the process of pure devotional service. Later, by constantly associating with saintly persons, his slight Paramarthiki, Shraddha, deepens, and Bhajana Kriya is initiated. Right? So, yeah. Yes. As long as Bhajana Kriya remains anishtita, regulative and not spontaneous, his ahanta and mamata are partially projected into spiritual activities, but he is still fully aware of the material world. When Bhajana Kriya becomes nishtita, or concentrated and more spontaneous, then mundane engrossment is practically destroyed, and the devotee experiences the profundity of spiritual consciousness. Ruchi, taste, then increases the attachments for internal spiritual development, and material life becomes distant and only a matter of utility rather than of necessity. Right, so it's just used because it's engaged in devotional service. You're not doing it because you need. Right, so you're eating because if you don't eat, doesn't maintain the body, it's hard to do service. Right? Does that make sense? You know, dead people don't do much service, and we also see, even if they're moving around, zombies never are doing devotional service. You don't see someone sitting, chanting, reading, you know, doing kirtan, never, right? Yeah, so therefore, that's why we eat, right?
Can they speak?
Hmm?
Can they speak?
At least they grumble a bit. Maybe they understand what they're saying, you know, okay. I say, for details of that, you'd have to speak to Sean, right? You know, so he can tell you. This attachment for the spiritual enhances the internal spiritual experiences to an intense level, thus diminishing material experiences to insignificant. Then, bhava enters, spiritually when Baba enters spiritually is at a stage where devotional sentiments are continuously intense. A material phenomena sometimes appears faintly distant and other times totally non-existent. Okay, so it's continuously intense, not just like that moment where, you know, we were very much absorbed in that, and then it goes. It's like that all the time. Like that. Again, in the initial stages of Bhajana Kriya, meditation on the Supreme Lord is in little flashes, and is always intruded upon by material thoughts. You know, have a nice thing, and then something else crashes in, you know, something. In Nishtita, the dhyana, meditation is hardly interrupted. In the stage of Ruchi, the meditation is for longer periods and without external interruptions. In Asakti, the meditations are deep and profound. And in the Bhava stage, the Supreme Lord appears immediately in the meditation. Okay. Finally, in Prema, exchanges with the Supreme are constant, direct, and personal. Okay, so the one you start meditating, and it's you know, there, and it becomes more and more stable. So you see is that even that stage of meditation, it goes up through these processes, while at the same time in Bhava, you have the five levels itself. But at the same time, all the levels before are representing these aspects. So then it starts to become steady, then it becomes for longer periods without any distraction. You know, there might be neutral stages, but there's not generally a distraction. Then it becomes where it becomes, intense. And material experiences are insignificant. But, you know, they may be around, but they're insignificant. But then when you and then Bhava, then it's basically they're not there. And if they are there, then in very rare times, then they're just basically, there's very faint, distant.
When the Lord appears, is he like a person physically, or is it? It can be also get there's different definition from the chaya. How the Lord?
The point is that when he's saying he's there, he's immediately there, means you experience Krishna. Otherwise, we're thinking of Krishna, but you know, we're thinking, and it's nice. But here, he's there, and you're experiencing, and that, you know, as it discussed before, you know, just the emotions and the feelings and all those kind of things. Okay. So that's the aspect that comes. He's there, and then. At Prema, then you're personally interacting. Okay. You know, there's no difference between the thought, but just the intensity is such that, you know, there's no difference between him being personally there and your being absorbed in him. Right? So that's why I said Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, because the Brajbasis are always absorbed in him. So he's always there. He's always interacting with them. Okay, again, at the initial stage of Bhajana Kriya, meditation on the Supreme Lord is in little flashes and is always intruded upon by material thoughts. Okay. Oh, no, we just read that one. Okay? Good. So then he's summarizing up what's there by the other symptoms, by the meditation, by the feelings. So that was Madhurya Kadambini. Excerpts from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhajan Rahasya. So now, because you mentioned before about the eight times of the day where Krishna is performing the pastimes. So the important thing is that we hear about them, we know, then we can appreciate when we hear pastimes what's happening when. But just trying to practice meditating on these and thinking that that's going to generate, that's not as there. It's that devotion, that surrender to Krishna, then Krishna himself appears. This. That's what I was mentioning, Swarasiki, on its own. Because you can see is when the meditation is just constant, then we'll see is that these things are always there. But the point is we know about them, but it's not because we know, now it puts us on that level. You know, and by nature, it, on its own, it's always there because of our attraction. That's right. Bhajan Rahasya. One, bhajan at the end of night. So Shraddha, faith. Okay, so he's taking it through the stages. By chanting, you know, in other words, it's the beginning of the morning. This means the Brahma Muhurta. Okay? By chanting the holy name, the mirror of one's heart is cleansed. Okay, so he's putting the gel all together with the Shikshastra. By chanting the holy name, the mirror of one's heart is cleansed, as stated in Shikshastra 1. Glories to the Sri Krishna Sankirtana, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years together. Thus, the fire of conditioned life, of repeated birth and death, is extinguished. The Sankirtan movement is the waxing moon that spreads the white lotus of good fortune for all living entities. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it helps to have a taste of the full nectar for which we are always anxious. By performing congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, one can destroy the sinful condition of material existence, purify the unclean heart, and awaken all varieties of devotional service. The result of chanting is that one awakens his love for Krishna and tastes transcendental bliss. Ultimately, one attains the association of Krishna and engages in his devotional service as if immersing himself in a great ocean of love. Right? So the whole point is the establishing of faith, that maturity will bring you to prema. Right? So by practicing by performing congregational chanting, that will bring you to that stage. You know, because that's Lord Chaitanya's showing. 2. Bhajan in the morning, sadhu sange, anarta nivriti, removal of anartas in the association of devotees. There is no question of an auspicious or inauspicious time for chanting the holy names. The holy names are invested with all potencies as described in the Shikshastakam 2. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in your holy name there is all good fortune for the living entity. And therefore you have many names, such as Krishna and Govinda, by which you expand yourself. You have invested all your potencies in those names, and there are no hard and fast rules for remembering them. My dear Lord, although you bestow such mercy upon the fallen conditioned souls by liberally teaching your holy names, I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy name, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for chanting. Because people vary in their desires, you have mercifully distributed various holy names. Regardless of time or place, one who chants the holy name, even while eating or sleeping, attains all perfection. You have invested your full potencies in each individual holy name, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attachment for chanting your holy names. 3. Bhajan at forenoon, nishta bhajana, bhajana, bhajan with firm faith. The qualification and procedure for performing Nam Kirtan is stated in Shikshastaka 3 as follows. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. O Sarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai, hear from me the symptoms of how one should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to awaken very easily one's dormant love of Krishna. Although he is very exalted, he thinks himself lower than the grass and the ground, and like a tree, he tolerates everything in two ways. When a tree is cut down, it does not protest, and even when drying up, it does not ask anyone for water. The tree delivers its fruits, flowers, and whatever it possesses to anyone and everyone. It tolerates scorching heat and torrents of rain, yet it still gives shelter to others. Although a Vaishnava is the most exalted person, he is prideless and gives all respect to everyone, knowing everyone to be the resting place of Krishna. 4. Bhajan at midday. Ruchi bhajan, taste for bhajan. One who chants the holy names has no desire other than unalloyed devotion to Krishna. This is confirmed in the Shikshastaka 4 as follows. O Lord of the universe, I do not desire material wealth, materialistic followers, a beautiful wife, or fruit of activities described in flowery language. All I want, life after life, is unmotivated devotional service to you. Home and paraphernalia, disciples, wealth in the form of animals and grains, wife, sons, servants, maidservants, relatives, fruit of activities described in flowery words, and beautiful women are all considered important objects in the material world. I, however, have no desire to attain these things. O Krishna, I aspire only for your mercy in the form of pure devotional service for you. The natural symptom of love is that a devotee who has love of Godhead thinks, I do not have even a cent of love for Krishna. 5. Bhajan in the afternoon. Krishna Shakti. Attachment to Krishna. The characteristic of one who chants the holy name and his prayer as the eternal servant of Krishna are given in the Shikshastika. O my Lord, O Krishna, son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servant, but because of my own fruit of acts, I have fallen in this horrible ocean of nations. Now please be causelessly merciful to me. Consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. I am your eternal servant, but I forgot your lordship. Now I have fallen in the ocean of nations and have been conditioned by the external energy. Be causelessly merciful to me by giving me a place with the particles of dust at your lotus feet, so that I may engage in the service of your lordship as your eternal servitor. And 6. Bhajan during the evening. Bhava, transcendental emotion. The external symptoms of perfection are given in the Shikshastaka. 6. My dear Lord, when will my eyes be beautified by filling with tears that constantly glide down as I chant your holy name? When will my voice falter and all the hairs on my body stand erect in transcendental happiness as I chant your holy name? Without love of God, my life is useless. Therefore, I pray that you accept me as your servant and give me the salary of ecstatic love of God. 7. Bhajan during late evening, Vipralamba Prema, love and separation. The internal symptom of devotion in the stage of perfection is that one worships Krishna in the mood of separation, Vipralamba. The Shikshastaka 7 describes this mood as follows. My Lord Govinda, because of separation from you, I consider even a moment a great millennium. Tears flow from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I see the entire world in void. In my agitation, a day never ends, for every moment seems like a millennium. Pouring incessant tears, my eyes are like clouds in the rainy season. The three worlds have become void because of separation from Govinda. I feel as if I were burning alive in a slow fire. 8. Pastimes at night. Prema Bhajam Sambhoga, devotional love. The nishta, or firm faith of a devotee who has achieved perfection in pure devotion, with complete dependence on Krishna, is described in the Shikshasta 8 as follows. Let Krishna tightly embrace this maidservant who has fallen at his lotus feet. Let him trample me or break my heart by never being visible to me. He is a debauchee, after all, and can do whatever he likes. But he is still no one other than the worshipable Lord of my life. I am a maidservant at the lotus feet of Krishna. He is the embodiment of transcendental happiness and mellows. If he likes, he can tightly embrace me and make me feel oneness with him. Or by not giving me his audience, he may corrode my mind and body. Nevertheless, it is he who is the Lord of my life. So this is what's in the Shikshastaka. So if anyone's... Yes. This is not from the book... the Shikshastaka. This is from Bhajan Rahasya. He's just taken those parts out of it. Because otherwise he gives so many shlokas and everything explaining what each one is and all that. So just in that mood, because we've gone through the Madhurika Nambini, and that's already explained all those technical points. So here he's just showing what's that attitude and how Lord Chaitanya he's given that. So it's, you know, something we chant every day, and, you know, what's the time in the temple and stuff. So, it starts from the beginning and goes all the way through. So this one instruction then takes care of the whole process. The point is you can see where you are, but at the same time is still, if it's not prema, then it's, you know, one considers that. But still, because you become aware of what's there, you can see what advancement is there, but at the same time you can see how other things are there. But that's,
you can't identify that.
Otherwise, why mention it? at that. Because if you can't identify, how do you see it in others? Okay, so that ends. Okay. Again. Okay, so that was ends the part 6 of the study time. Now, part 7. Chapters 20 to 22. So now we start on the Southern Ocean. Right? So all that before then prepares us for the next ocean. Chapter 20, Transcendental Mellow. Chapter 21, Qualities of Sri Krishna. Chapter 22, Qualities of Sri Krishna Further Explained. The Southern Section, Defining the Components of Rasa. Right? Because before you were just showing how the path of bhakti develops. Right, the different stages, and then now you're giving the components of rasa. Right? So that'll be the stai bhav, the vi bhav, anu bhav, satvika bhav, and the avichari bhavas. Right? First wave concerning vi bhava in the southern section of the bhakti rasamrita sindhu. Right? So then it'll have its waves. So wave one, outline of vi bhava. Okay. So, you have one, causes of bhakti rasa. Two, components of rasa. Vibhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava, vyabhichari bhava, and stai bhava. Three, definition of vibhava. So you have alambana and udipana. So in alambana, then you have the vishaya, the experienced object of love, and two, ashraya, the experiencer, means the devotee. And B, udipana, the stimulus for invoking love in the vishaya. So, I guess it would go both ways. Four, Krishna is the Vishaya. A, other forms, expanding as the cowherd boys and calves. B, Sarup, disguised and undisguised. C, the qualities of Krishna's components of Vishaya. One, 50 qualities available to Jivas, 5 extra qualities in Shiva, 5 extra qualities in Vishnu, 4 extra qualities only in Krishna. So that's Lila Madhuryam, sweetness of pastimes, Premana, Priyadikyam, sweet devotees. Venu Madhuryam, sweetness of his flute. Rupa Madhuryam, sweetness of his form. And that means then there's one Purna in Dwarka, Purnatara in Mathura, and Purnatama in Vraja. So it just gets more and more complete. Mm-hmm. I mean perfect, more perfect, most perfect. Right. Mm-hmm. Then we have, okay, Krishna is the Vishaya. Then continuing with Krishna in four aspects, Dhirodatta, Dhira Lalita, Dhira Prasanta, and Dhirodatta. And then last, Krishna with 8 auspicious qualities. Then 5, devotee is Ashraya. So you have, okay, then you have type, where's the B? Rizno, B here, or A, there's only A, okay. So type, by attainment, sadhaka, bhava bhakta, siddha, prema bhakta, and then samprapta, siddha, by sadhana, by mercy, and nitya siddhas. Then by rasa, you know, you're just talking about is the rasa means how they've attained a position, or they've always been there, or what rasa is there, shanta, dasya, sakya, vatsalya, and madhurya. Then in udipana, so that was all alambana, right? So you have definition of vibhava, so then it's alambana as the vishaya and the ashraya. So they gave Krishna as the vishaya, now they describe the ashraya, the devotee, and now they'll discuss udipana. Udipana. A, Krishna's qualities. One, bodily. Then there's the age, so Kumara, Pauganda, and Kishore. There's beauty, there's form, there's softness. Two, verbal. Three, mental. Then B, Krishna's actions. C, Krishna's clothing. D, Krishna's accessories. So in that we have hairstyle, garland, tilak, tambula, and lotus. Then E, his ornaments. Next, smile, fragrance, flute, horn, anklets, conch, footprints, places, tulsi, devotee, and festive days. So we hear all these things, and so the devotee, as they absorb themselves in this, then they progress through the process. But we see as Prabhu pointed out that Swarasaki and Asakti, these things just naturally come into the mind because they're there and you just absorb yourself in Krishna. See? Chapter 20. Transcendental Mellow. 2.1.1. May the eternal form of Krishna, killer of Agasura, served strongly by his natural beauty, which is attractive even without ornaments, and which is non-different from his very self, remain with all attractive features eternally in the district of Mathura. Second meaning. Mace, and this is the same Sanskrit, by depending on how you take the word, the roots and how therefore you place the words. May Sanatan Goswami, who conquers all sins and is served with devotion by his younger brother Rupa, who has taken shelter of him alone, remain eternally in Mathura district. Sorry? Yes, but it may be he gave like that, or the Acharyas pointed it out. 2.1.2. The second part of the sweet ocean of rasa is called the southern section. It describes the general rasas within devotion to the Lord. Because the general rasas means the components of the rasas. Like that. Somebody says it's not getting the detail into the five rasas. It'll be mentioned, but that'll come in the next section in the Western. Srila Prabhupada. In the second division of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the author offers his respectful obeisances unto Sanatana. This Sanatana can be interpreted as either Sri Krishna himself or as Sanatana Goswami, the elder brother and spiritual master of Rupa Goswami. In the case where Sanatana is accepted to mean Sri Krishna, the obeisances are offered to Krishna because he is naturally so beautiful, because he is the killer of the demon Agha. If it is interpreted to mean Sanatana Goswami, then it is because he is so greatly favored by Rupa Goswami, being always served by him, because he is the annihilator of all kinds of sinful activities. Right? So Agasura then represents sinful activities. In this division of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the author wants to describe the general symptoms of the transcendental mellow, loving mood of discharging devotional service. 2.1.3. There are five waves or chapters in the southern section of the ocean. The first deals with Vibhava, the second with Anubhava, the third with Satvika Bhava, the fourth with Vyavichari Bhava, and the fifth with Stai Bhava. Right? Because it's dealing with all these different aspects, right? Srila Prabhupada. In this division of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are five general topics. 1. Vibhava, special symptoms or causes of ecstasy. 2. Anubhava, subsequent ecstasy. Means from Vibhava, then you're going to get Anubhava. 3. Satvika Bhava, constitutional or existential ecstasy. Vyavichari Bhava, aggressive ecstasy. And Stai Bhava, fervent or continuous ecstasy. Make sense?
Yeah, I'm feeling.
Oh, okay. Means that the Satvika Bhavas are going to be the what are happening means the physical form and things like that is because of the life airs. The Anubhava is coming because of the mind, and the Satvika Bhavas are becoming because of the life airs. So sometimes you see the list of Anubhavas and the list of Satvika Bhavas, some of them are the same. But one's coming from the physical, one's coming from the mental. Vyavichari aggressive because they just come in and then they go away. They're not constant. While Stai Bhava is fervent or constant. But you have the constant ecstasy, then you have the Vyavichari which comes in and alters something and then it goes away.
Can you give an example or a pair of them? Like his mother is sold, for example. Her sty would be her parental?
It would be parental. And then there are certain Vyavichari bhavas that come into parental bhava. You know, so unless we see the list.
But what would be the Vibhava, for example?
For the Vibhava, then you would have the Krishna is the Vishai and she's the Ashrai, right? And then the Udipan would be things like seeing Krishna's paraphernalia and him, how nice he is, and how, you know, a young boy he is, and all these. There's different things that are connected with that inspire parental rasa. Does that make sense? So that will be that aspect. And Anubhava, then because of that, she experiences certain kinds of ecstasy. So most of them are all common, but there's certain ones that are more pronounced in one rasa than another, or certain ones that just don't come in that rasa. Does that make sense? Yeah. And then Satvika Bhava we mentioned. So you know, so Anubhava means from that mental state of that ecstasy, it creates these ecstasies, and then others it can create a physical one because of the life airs. Like that. Does that make sense? And the Vyavicharis, those will be within her main thing is prayer, and there may be so many other flavors that come in. But they're transitory. They just come in and go away. You know, the main thing will be that affection for Krishna, but in that there might be fear, there might be, you know, how you say, that aspect, you know, the sneha is coming. All these different things are just moving all together.
But fear, for example, would be the anubhava, because it's from the mind. When
anubhava is the particular, these are flavors. Means it's a subsequent from the interaction, from the dealing, from whatever it is that's causing the ecstasy to come up. But within that, then you can have other flavors.
Yeah. Like for example, when Mother Yashoda saw Krishna in the coils of Kaliya.
Yeah, so fear might come up, or the want to protect, or all these things, they all come up and are constantly going
through.
Those
are transitory.
Yes, but what we're talking about here, but at the same time, is the parental rasa that she wants to go and take care. It just means you have a main basis of the parental flavor, and that what you work in, and then these things just come up and go within that. But it's based on something that is there that's generating that. So Krishna being the coils of Kaliya, then that is causing, you know, these particular symptoms that she wants to go save this and that, but then that mental experience that's going on, that's another thing. So it's not just mental. It means the anubhavas, you see them physically, you know, like crying and things like that, but they're caused from the mind. Well, the sattvika bhavas are caused from the life airs. So that's what I'm saying. They may look the same, but they're just, their origin is different. That's why they mention them. Okay. And that he had another, he's not here. Remember, did anyone remember yesterday? He also gave another name for what this,
Sanchari and Vyabhichara.
Huh?
Sanchari and Vyabhichara.
Yeah.
We say it's the same, it's transitory.
Yes.
But actually the Vyabhichari, the difference between Sanchari and Vyabhichari, it's opposite of Stai Bhav.
Okay.
It opposes the Stai Bhav, so apparently it looks, doesn't match the Stai. Although it does match it.
Yeah. It's just within. It's just that's why you always have these things. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Also sometimes sattvika bhava, it's called involuntary emotions.
Yeah.
So when she faints, that she doesn't want to faint, but it just happens.
Yes.
So that's sattvika bhava.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Good.
Earlier the sequence was a little different, like if you see the Stai Bhava and then comes the Chari Bhava.
Yes, but the point is the Stai Bhava is the basis where all these are. So these things are there, because if we discuss Stai Bhava, then people go, okay, what Bhava is this? But you're trying to show that all these function in all the rasas. So you should have gone that. Then all that together, when you have that, then you'll call that a particular Stai Bhava. Right? Because if you're studying, it has these elements. These elements in this capacity, that becomes this particular Stai Bhava. Now when one's functioning within that, is based on that Stai Bhava, then the particular ones that match that come up. But we're analyzing it, so we're looking at it this way. Does that make sense? So you analyze in one way, you apply it in another. Like in analyzation, I go Sambandha Abhide Prayojana. But in using it, I'll go Sambandha Prayojana than Abhideya. Because if I don't see the goal, I can't apply it. Does that make sense? Yeah. Sure. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaurav Devanand.